Ohio seniors make the right call for better Medicare benefits with Medical Mutual. Call 1-866-966-9338 to find a plan today. Enroll by December 7th.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Dead America. Tales from the Front Lines. The Atlanta Stadium. By Derek Slayton. Chapter 1. Day 0. 4:32 a.m. A two-vehicle convoy raced down the interstate just outside of Atlanta, Georgia. The lead sedan carried three soldiers, with Sergeant Felix firmly gripping the steering wheel. His second-in-command, Corporal Bentley, sat beside him, engrossed in reading the mission brief on his phone. Behind them, Private Crosby, a lanky soldier, chewed on a toothpick. Felix occasionally checked the rearview mirror to ensure the truck containing the rest of their team stayed close behind. Private Keith and Nolan, newcomers to the squad, had been hastily added just minutes before they were dispatched from the base. "I can't believe they just took Charlie and Marks out of our squad, then sent us on this. Whatever the hell this is," Private Crosby muttered. "It's a mission, Crosby. We've been on them before," Corporal Bentley replied. "Yeah, over in the sandbox. Not in Atlanta, unless you count that order to go to that airport strip club with one of those congressmen. And we weren't loaded down with weapons for that," Crosby grumbled. Bentley smirked. "Speak for yourself, Crosby. I'm always packing a weapon, and I don't mean in my holster." Crosby shook his head at the crude joke before changing the subject. "So what is our mission, Bentley?"
"It's really straightforward, Crosby. We're to get to the football stadium, meet our contact who is." Bentley paused to find the name on his phone, some woman named Natalie Kruger, and secure the building. Crosby frowned. "Secure it from what?"
"Hostile civilians," Bentley replied.
"So we're riot control?" Crosby questioned.
Bentley shook his head as he continued to read. "It's something bigger than that. Some sort of biological agent that's infecting people and causing them to go crazy."
Crosby sighed. "So they sent five of us to secure a stadium from a mob.
Great plan. The stadium should be empty. So if it takes more than five of us, then we need to find a new line of work," Bentley replied.
"What are we securing it for? None of this makes sense," Crosby said, growing increasingly perplexed.
"Orders don't say. It just says that we are to secure the building, lock it down tight, and expect reinforcements and supplies before sunup," Bentley explained. The air inside the car grew heavy with confusion. "Reinforcements and supplies. I'm so confused right now. I thought we were just supposed to secure the building," Crosby muttered.
"You got me, Crosby. I just work here," Bentley replied.
Felix, not usually the quiet one, wore a stern expression. Bentley noticed his silence and asked, "What is it, Sarge? You've been really quiet."
"They're not telling us the full story about the biological attack, taking half our team, not sending us out with protective gear. And now we're supposed to secure and wait for reinforcements and supplies."
"You know what that tells me," Felix said.
"That we're screwed," Crosby guessed.
"That they know that we're not in danger of becoming infected, and that this thing is way bigger than anyone wants to make public," Felix concluded.
"Wait, so Charlie and Marks are infected? How?" Crosby asked in disbelief.
"I don't know. But apparently, somebody does. And it doesn't really matter to us at the moment. We have our orders, and we're going to carry them out," Felix asserted.
"Copy that, Sarge," Crosby replied.
Bentley continued to skim through the document before stopping at one section.
He read it to himself before muttering curses. "What is it, Bentley?" Crosby inquired. "According to this, if we encounter a violent civilian, we're to shoot on sight and to aim for the head," Bentley said, his voice heavy with concern. "Jesus Christ," Crosby muttered. "Are you sure you read that right?" Felix questioned. "Yeah, Sarge. It says shoot in the head on sight," Bentley confirmed. The car fell into silence as Felix veered off the interstate, taking an exit. They stayed quiet until they approached the football stadium, just outside the heart of downtown. "Keep your heads on a swivel. We don't know what we're walking into," Felix cautioned. Bentley and Crosby scanned the streets. There weren't many people out at this hour, but they spotted a few groups on the sidewalk and running across the street. It was hard to determine if they were just revelers or something more sinister, but they decided not to investigate. A few moments later, they arrived in the stadium's parking lot. "Does it say where we're supposed to meet our contact?" Felix asked. "Just says player's entrance," Bentley replied. Felix shook his head and began to drive around the stadium. Halfway around, they spotted a young black woman in her 30s standing by a partially open door, clicking a flashlight on and off. "That must be her," Felix said. He flicked his high beams on and off, and she waved in response. Soon, the large metal garage door started to open, and they parked beside her vehicle. As the door closed behind them, all five soldiers exited the car. The woman approached them, hastily dressed in jeans and a t-shirt, with her hair and makeup still intact. "Are you Sergeant Felix?" she asked. "I am. This is Corporal Bentley, Private Crosby. Those two in the truck are Nolan and Keith." Felix introduced them. "You must be Natalie Kruger," Bentley said. "Natalie is fine. But do you mind telling me what this is all about?" she inquired. "I'll be honest with you, Natalie. You probably know more than we do," Felix admitted. "In that case, we're both fucked, Sergeant," Natalie replied with a hint of worry. Natalie noticed the look Corporal Bentley gave her in response to her cursing. "Oh, you better believe I curse, Corporal. I manage every event that comes through this building, from concerts to football games. And if you aren't salty as hell, you get overrun by blue-collar guys. Rip them a new one in front of their friends, and everybody learns to stay on your good side. Are you good with that, or do I need to give you a demonstration?" Natalie ranted. Bentley glanced over to Felix, and they both chuckled and nodded. "I'm good, Natalie," Bentley replied. "Now, let's try this again, Sergeant. Do you mind telling me what all this is about? Because all I know is I got home after a 16-hour day dealing with a rapper and his pretentious entourage, only to have my boss call me up in a panic, saying I needed to come meet you down here," Natalie inquired. "We have to lock this place down tight and wait for reinforcements," Felix explained. Natalie was shocked and unsure of how to respond. She struggled to find the words. "Is this a joke, Sergeant? Did my boss put you up to this?" "I wish that was the case, but I get the feeling that things are about to get very, very bad," Felix responded. "Like how bad?" Natalie asked, her concern growing. "There was a biological attack on the country. That's all we know," Corporal Bentley added. Natalie stiffened at the mention of a biological attack, her attitude quickly fading. She nodded in acknowledgement. "Okay, what do you need?" "We need to lock down every entrance the building has so that nothing can get in," Felix stated. Natalie agreed. "Okay, we can do that for 90% of the entrances and exits pretty easily. Just have to get to the security office. The exterior doors are already locked, but from there we can drop the metal barriers. Normally, they'd already be dropped, but we had workers here overnight to change the field back from the concert setup." Felix's expression grew tense as Natalie mentioned the presence of workers. "There are people still here," Natalie confirmed, "couldn't tell you how many. But yeah, there are people still here. Saw their cars in the employee lot when I was driving in." Felix shifted into mission mode and began giving orders. Bentley, Crosby, get our gear. Nolan, help them out. Keith, secure that door. He pointed to the lone door leading from the parking area into the stadium. As they moved, Natalie was still perplexed. Sergeant, it's going to be okay. They're supposed to be here, she tried to reassure him. I understand that, but we have to treat them as potential hostiles, Felix explained. Natalie was struggling to find the right words, stammering for a moment before Felix took control of the situation. Look, Natalie, there's every possibility they're just here, working, and that they're fine. We're just preparing for the worst-case scenario. Okay, Felix reassured her. Natalie nodded as the soldiers continued with their tasks. As they did, Private Keith reached the door, which was on the far side of the room. He had his weapon ready, pointing it toward the door as he opened it. Suddenly, an excited moan came from the other side of the door, and before Keith could react, a zombie crashed through, knocking them both to the floor. The other soldiers watched in horror as the zombified worker bit into Keith's throat, ripping out a chunk of flesh. Blood flowed onto the concrete as Sergeant Felix raised his rifle and fired a single round through the head of the zombie, dropping it to the ground. Bentley, secure that door, Felix ordered. Corporal Bentley rushed over to the door, keeping his gun raised and ready for any other threats. Meanwhile, Felix stood there, stunned by the sudden loss of the new team member. His shock deepened when Keith started to move again. What the hell? Felix muttered. Keith let out an excited moan and quickly sat up. Felix, reacting on instinct, raised his weapon and fired a round at point-blank range into Keith's head. Sergeant Felix looked up and saw the other soldiers staring at him in shock. Don't get bit. The men nodded in agreement just as Bentley began yelling from the door. We have incoming. Everyone rushed over to the door, ready for a fight. They entered the main hallway of the stadium, which was large and encircled the field in the middle. Moans echoed throughout the halls, and thunderous footsteps approached them. Though they were still around the bend, the infected individuals were drawn to the noise and closing in rapidly. Where is the security office? Felix asked. Natalie replied, on the other side of the stadium. We can go right across the field. Felix hesitated. Only if we have to. We stay on the outer rim and stay ahead of that. Private Crosby stepped forward, holding a smaller sniper rifle. I need an elevated position. The owner's box is a couple of sections up. I'll show you the elevator to get up to it, Natalie offered. Crosby asked, key to get in? Keypad. 4210 is the code, Natalie provided. Crosby nodded, repeating the code to himself. Pick off what you can, but keep us informed of what's going on. The approaching footsteps grew louder, and shadows bounced off the walls in the distance. Let's move, Felix ordered, and the group hurriedly continued their journey through the stadium.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals, and no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Chapter 2. The group of five sprinted down the outer edges of the stadium, their footsteps on the concrete drowned out by the thunderous herd closing in behind them. As they reached a couple of sections up, Natalie pointed to the elevator leading to the owner's box. There's your ride, Crosby, she exclaimed. Crosby broke off from the group, hitting the elevator button as quickly as he could. A few tense moments passed before it finally dinged and the doors opened. As he stepped inside, he could hear the mob of flesh-eaters closing in, so he frantically pressed the top floor button and repeatedly hammered the closed door button. The elevator doors stubbornly refused to close. Oh, come on, damn you, Crosby muttered anxiously. I'm supposed to die in a blaze of glory, not because an elevator took its sweet-ass time. Finally, the doors began to shut, staying open just long enough for Crosby to catch a glimpse of the pursuing mob of blood-covered creatures. Some were missing flesh, others were covered in unknown sources of blood. "What in the holy hell is going on?" Crosby wondered aloud, terror gripping him. He shook his head as the elevator climbed to the top floor. While it ascended, he pulled out his handgun, keeping it ready, determined not to be caught with his pants down like Keith did. The elevator dinged as it reached the top floor. As the doors opened, Crosby cautiously stepped out, handgun at the ready. The area was a small waiting room with three doors. The doors to the left and right were ordinary, but the one directly in front of him had a keypad. Crosby approached it and quickly punched in the code, unlocking the door. Crosby performed a quick sweep of the expansive suite, finding nothing in motion. "Christ, this place is bigger than my apartment," he muttered to himself. He swiftly moved through the suite and reached the window. Sliding it open, he stepped onto the open area. He was right at the 50-yard line, with a commanding view of the entire field. The football field had only been partially completed before the apocalypse broke out, extending about 70 yards. To his left, where the end zone would have been, stood a giant stage in a state of disarray. Most of the speaker railings had been removed, but the main stage platform still stood. "Let's see what we can see," Crosby said to himself. Crosby readied his sniper rifle, adjusting the scope and peering through it. He started by examining the stage, noticing signs of a struggle. Metal scaffolding lay scattered on the ground, and blood was splattered across the area. "Well, whatever happened started there," he mused. As Crosby continued to scan the stage, he spotted a creature moving erratically. It bore several massive bite wounds, its torn jeans and shirt soaked in blood. Suddenly, it glanced quickly to the side, prompting Crosby to adjust his aim and spot another creature tangled in a pile of cables. Crosby thought for a moment, aimed at the trapped creature, and fired a single shot through its head. It fell lifeless. He then returned his focus to the first creature, which was frantically searching for the source of the sound. "No emotion. Didn't care at all that I took off his friend's head," Crosby noted grimly. He aimed at the second creature, fired another shot, and dropped it to the ground. Crosby continued to scan the rest of the arena, looking for targets. He spotted several on the football field, searching for the source of the gunshots. As he surveyed the area, he noticed a trail of blood leading from the field to the outer rim. Crosby pulled out his radio. "Sarge, do you copy? What's your 20? He inquired. Sergeant Felix's voice crackled over the radio. "We're in the security office, and those things are right outside." "Are you able to get the security doors down?" Crosby asked. "Yeah, we're working on it." "Then we just need to figure out how the hell we're getting out of the room," Sergeant Felix replied. Crosby contemplated for a moment. "I have an idea for that." "I'm all ears," Sergeant Felix responded. "What section are you in?" Crosby inquired. "Hang on. 237, Sergeant Felix replied. Crosby scanned the area, spotting the section and noticing that the hallway leading to the outer rim was open. He looked through his scope, seeing a concession cart. "Crosby, where'd you go?" Sergeant Felix's voice questioned. "Sorry, just needed a minute," Crosby replied. "I'm pretty sure I can create a diversion to get you out of the room." Sergeant Felix showed interest. "How?" "These things react to noise, and I can hit a concession cart from here," Crosby explained. "It should draw their attention away from the door long enough for you to get out." "I like the idea, but we have to figure out how the hell we're going to take them down," Sergeant Felix pointed out. Crosby asked, "With those cameras, can you see what we're dealing with?" Sergeant Felix observed the screens in the security room. "Looks like there are 40 or 50 outside the room. And there's another batch wandering around the loading docks. We don't have a good view of the field, though." "Just a handful that I'll have mopped up before I break you out," Crosby assured him. "Okay. Mop up and let me know when you're done. I'll have a plan by then, Sergeant Felix replied. Copy that, Crosby acknowledged, and the line went silent as he raised his rifle to continue his cleanup duty. Meanwhile, inside the security room, Felix stared at the multitude of screens. They displayed virtually every area of the stadium. Corporal Bentley and Private Nolan watched the screens in stunned silence. Natalie, however, was hard at work pounding away on the keyboard. After a few moments, she hit the enter key and pointed to one of the screens. The camera was facing the main doors at the front of the building, where a large metal fence descended from the ceiling to the ground. Okay, that's the last of the gates. If a customer can walk through it, then it's secured, Natalie explained. Felix inquired, even the emergency exits. Natalie responded, those we're going to have to deal with manually, but they only open from the inside, so we'll be fine. Private Nolan voiced his concern, as long as one of those things doesn't run into the release. It'll be fine, Private, Corporal Bentley reassured him. Private Nolan couldn't shake his fear. Just like it was fine for Keith. That thing came running through the door like a bat out of hell. He never had a chance. Sergeant Felix's voice rose with authority. That's enough, Nolan. You can grieve when we're done fighting. Right now, we need to figure out how we're going to fight these things. Nolan composed himself as the trio of soldiers turned their attention to Natalie, who looked puzzled. Why are y'all looking at me? She asked. Because you know this building better than any of us, Felix explained. He found the monitor displaying the situation outside their door and pointed to it. We're going to have a few moments to slip out of here when Crosby gives us our diversion. But we need a place where we can fight them. Natalie quickly turned around and typed on the keyboard, pulling up a layout of the building. She pointed as she spoke. The outer rim is a complete circle. So if you can run and shoot. Corporal Bentley interjected. We have to hit these things in the head, which is tough enough when we're stationary. Firing backward as we run for our lives makes it even harder. Natalie pondered for a moment. How about firing from a moving vehicle? The three soldiers exchanged glances before shrugging. Private Nolan said, "It's doable." Corporal Bentley added, But where in the hell are we getting a moving vehicle? Natalie pulled up the stadium map, indicating an area back around the corner from where they initially ran. There is a motorized stretcher cart parked here. There are ramps that lead down to the field and up to a garage door. Sergeant Felix approved. I can get to that. Corporal Bentley inquired, And are you going to be shooting them while driving? Sergeant Felix replied, Nope, but Crosby will. Assuming you packed it. Bentley initially seemed confused, but finally smirked and nodded. Crosby is going to have the time of his life. Just make sure he knows I'm the one who made it happen. Private Nolan wondered, So what are we supposed to do? Sergeant Felix explained, You're going to handle the hostiles at the loading dock. Nolan questioned, So we're supposed to just run in, guns blazing? Natalie was quick to assist, pulling up the loading dock on the screen. Dozens of creatures roamed around the three trucks in the bays, with the trucks backed in and their doors open. The interior door separating the docks from the building was closed. Sergeant Felix offered a plan. If you can get onto the top of one of those trucks, these things should be easy pickings. Corporal Bentley raised a concern. Great plan, Sarge. Just one problem. How in the hell are we supposed to get up there? The dock looks clogged up. Natalie came to the rescue. There's a small group of offices just off to the side of the loading docks that leads down to the floor. You'll just need to get in there, and that will take you to the front of the trucks. It doesn't look like there are too many obstacles in your way. Bentley and Nolan leaned in closer to the screen, studying the layout. Corporal Bentley asked Nolan, What do you think, Private? Can you climb up that truck? Private Nolan confidently replied, If we can get to it, I can get up it. Corporal Bentley agreed, Okay then, we have a plan. Natalie grabbed a pen and paper, jotting down a 6-digit number. Here's the code to the offices, she offered. Bentley nodded as he and Nolan prepared for their mission. Sergeant Felix took out his radio. Crosby, how's the extermination going? He inquired. Private Crosby responded, Got two more I need to finish off. Then I'll be ready to create the diversion. Sergeant Felix shared his plan. Before you do that, I'm going to need you to run down to the truck. Private Crosby asked, What do you need, Sarge? Sergeant Felix revealed, Bentley packed your favorite toy. We're going to need to break that out. There was excitement in Crosby's voice as he responded, I love that man. Sergeant Felix chuckled, I'm sure the feeling is mutual. Now get down there and let me know when you're ready to roll. Private Crosby acknowledged, On it, Sarge. Felix turned to the others, rallying them for the upcoming challenge. Okay, I'm going to get out first. Get the cart and come back to the mob. Once we pull them away, you'll be free to roll. Natalie, I think you're going to be safest if you just stay locked in here. Natalie quipped, You say that like there was going to be someplace else I was going to be during all of this. Sergeant Felix cracked a smile and nodded. Okay, people, let's get our game faces on, he declared. Chapter 3. Sergeant Felix stood resolute by the door of the security office. His rifle was slung over his shoulder and his handgun was poised and ready. The cacophony of banging and moaning on the other side of the door threatened to deafen him. Remember, if you get overwhelmed or can't reach the objective, find someplace safe, he advised, his gaze meeting Nolan's and Bentley's, who held their weapons at the ready. They had no intention of venturing beyond the safety of the security office, but they couldn't afford to take chances with that ominous door. Felix took a few steadying breaths. With a nod to himself, he picked up the radio. Okay. Crosby, let's get this show on the road, he radioed. Copy that. 30 seconds, Private Crosby replied, his eyes focused through the scope as he got his bearings. He located the tunnel on the other side of the arena and spotted the concession cart. The countdown in Crosby's mind ticked away. When it reached zero, he squeezed the trigger. Here we go, he whispered. The gunshot pierced the air, the bullet hurtling across the stadium and hitting its mark, the metal concession cart. The collision produced a high-pitched metallic screech. Crosby continued to peer through the scope, offering silent prayers that their plan would succeed. He breathed a sigh of relief as he watched a swarm of zombies rush toward the source of the sound, their frenzied search revealing their confusion. Crosby grabbed the radio again. Go, go, go. Sergeant Felix pressed his ear against the door, the commotion echoing down the hallway. However, the immediate banging and moaning just outside the door had ceased. Felix turned and nodded to the other two soldiers before carefully cracking open the door, his gun held close and aimed upward toward head level, just in case. He slipped through the door, scanning the area and spotting the zombies, still searching for the elusive noise. Felix began to speed walk in the opposite direction, avoiding heavy footfalls on the unforgiving concrete. He had covered a good 20 yards when one of the creatures finally noticed him. A guttural moan reverberated through the concrete corridor, quickly followed by the sound of approaching footsteps. In a split second, numerous moans and ghouls were rushing toward him. Sergeant Felix broke into a full sprint, giving his all to outpace the relentless pursuit. Finally, he reached the turnoff that led to the ramp descending to the field. As he dashed down the ramp, he spotted the cart resting against the wall. Felix glanced back and saw that the zombies were still hot on his trail. Damn it. They're going to block me, he muttered to himself. With seconds to decide, Felix jumped behind the wheel of the stretcher cart, swiftly turned it on, and floored the gas pedal. The cart lurched forward, speeding across the football field. He looked over his shoulder, witnessing the creatures closing in within 10 yards. This better work, Felix muttered under his breath. The cart thundered across the field, weaving around the lifeless bodies strewn across the ground to avoid the risk of flipping over,
As he approached within 20 yards of the stage, Felix executed a sharp left turn, completing a colossal U-turn that spanned nearly the entire width of the field. The creatures, too unintelligent to cut him off, followed his every move. Felix now raced down the center of the field, heading back toward the tunnel leading to the outer rim. He grabbed his radio. "Crosby, you better be ready because I'm coming in hot. I'm in front of the elevator, package in hand, ready to rock," Private Crosby replied. "I'll be on your position in 30 seconds," Felix confirmed. "Copy that." Sergeant Felix continued down the field, reaching the ramp and ascending it. As he climbed, a lone straggler zombie emerged from the hallway, moving slower due to missing chunks of flesh and muscle from its legs, but still making an effort. Felix drew his handgun, firing several shots at the ghoul as he sped past. The bullets missed its head, but one round found its shoulder. The impact spun the zombie around, sending it crashing to the ground. Glancing back, Felix saw the creature struggling to get back on its feet. The zombie finally managed to stand, but was quickly knocked down again as the horde emerged from the ramp. Felix hurtled down the hallway, the moans and footsteps of the pursuing horde keeping pace behind him. As he approached the elevator, he spotted Crosby standing there with a .50-caliber sniper rifle in his arms, wearing a grin on his face.
"Get on! They're right behind me!" Felix shouted.
Crosby leaped onto the flat stretcher surface on the back of the cart. As soon as he was aboard, Felix floored the accelerator. Crosby looked back and saw the mob closing in, just 30 yards away and gaining ground. Fear filled his eyes. "Are you going to shoot or just wait for them to catch us?" Felix demanded.
"Oh, right. Sorry, Sarge," Crosby stammered, snapping out of his momentary hesitation. He set up the massive sniper rifle, deploying its legs at the edge of the cart as he lay down. There wasn't enough space for him to stretch out fully, so his legs hung over the seats.
"I doubt if I'm going to be able to get headshots, Sarge," Crosby admitted. "Just aim for center mass. Those rounds will rip through them. We can go on cleanup duty afterwards," Felix instructed. "Copy that," Crosby responded, determination replacing his initial hesitation. Crosby took aim towards the center of the horde, waiting for the right moment as they entered a brief straightaway before pulling the trigger. The deafening sound of the weapon echoed off the concrete walls, resonating through the corridor. The colossal caliber round struck the chest of the lead zombie, transforming it into a fine crimson paste. The creature crumpled to the ground while the bullet continued its deadly path through the mob. One by one, the creatures fell, their torsos obliterated by the impact of the round. Crosby let out a satisfied yell as he chambered another round. He waited a few moments for the horde to fill in the gap he had created before squeezing the trigger once more. Just like the first round, the second tore through torsos, severed limbs, and sent several zombies crashing to the ground. As he chambered another round, Crosby focused on one of the fallen creatures through the scope. The zombie was missing half of its torso, an arm ripped off, and it lay on the ground, thrashing about. Despite the grievous injury, it seemed unfazed, struggling to rise. Crosby shook off the gruesome sight, chambered another round, and fired again. The two soldiers circled the building, repeating the firing process a dozen times, emptying two entire magazines of shells. Only half a dozen zombies remained in pursuit, with just one still intact. Crosby retrieved his regular sniper rifle from his back, taking a knee on the cart and aiming at the last remaining fully intact zombie. He squeezed the trigger, sending the round straight through its head. The other remaining creatures moved at a pace slightly faster than a mall walker. Crosby tapped the sergeant on the shoulder. "Slow down, Sarge. Let them get a little closer. I think we're all right now." Felix glanced behind him, assessing the condition of the remaining ghouls. He released the gas, allowing the creatures to draw nearer to the cart. As they did, Crosby pulled out his handgun and shot them when they got close, conserving his precious sniper ammunition. After a minute of waiting and shooting, the final creature succumbed. Felix halted the cart, and the two men shared a sigh of relief. They sat there for a moment, gazing back at the carnage they had wrought. "Are you ready to clean this mess up?" Felix asked. Crosby nodded. "Let's turn it around, though. If we have a slow mover, I don't want to overlook it." "Good call, Private," Felix agreed. Crosby settled on the back of the cart, keeping a vigilant eye on the rear as Felix drove slowly, cautious not to stumble upon any surprises. As they came around the first bend, they spotted half a dozen creatures on the ground, their torsos obliterated. Felix stopped the cart beside one of the ghouls, and both men leaned down for a closer look. "Well, there's something you don't see every day," Crosby remarked. The creature on the ground was missing its entire central chest portion, extending up to its neck and over to the right arm. The nerves from the brain to its legs had been severed, rendering it unable to stand. However, its brain still communicated with the left arm. The ghoul lay helpless on the ground, growling and snapping its teeth as it reached its arm toward them. "I've seen a lot of shit in my day, but this is some black magic, voodoo-type stuff," Felix mused. Crosby rolled his eyes, firing his handgun into the creature's head, ending its torment. "Pretty sure if it was magic, then a bullet wouldn't be able to stop it." "Still, this is some freaky stuff, Crosby," Felix replied, their attention shifting to the other ghouls on the ground. Some moving limbs, others only able to move their mouths. Crosby hopped down from the cart, going around and dispatching them one by one. As he finished off the last one in this group, they heard moaning coming from down the hallway. Both men looked up and spotted the straggler, the same one Felix had driven past earlier, missing flesh and muscle from its legs. "Crosby, would you put that thing out of its misery? I'm starting to feel sorry for it," Felix requested. Crosby nodded, pulling out his sniper rifle and firing. The creature fell to the ground. As Crosby walked back to the cart, they heard an intense burst of gunfire from down the hallway. Initially, it was just a few shots from one weapon, but soon, two weapons were firing as rapidly as they could. "Should we go help them out?" Crosby asked. Felix paused, listening to the relentless gunfire. When it showed no signs of letting up, he nodded. "Get on. We can do the cleanup once they're safe." Crosby nodded and hopped onto the back of the cart as they sped off towards their comrades engaged in battle. Chapter 4. Corporal Bentley and Private Nolan stood by the door of the security room, their ears still ringing from the thundering herd of the zombie mob that had passed by them. "What are we waiting on, Corporal?" Private Nolan asked, his voice tinged with impatience. Bentley glanced at Nolan, a touch of anxiety in his eyes. "I'd feel a lot better if I heard gunfire before going out." Natalie, who was monitoring the situation on the security room's monitors, chimed in. "You know I'm tracking them on the monitors over here." Bentley and Nolan exchanged a glance that conveyed their shared sentiment of being dumbasses. They turned towards Natalie. "Is it clear for us?" Bentley inquired. "They're a quarter of the way around the building," Natalie replied. "As long as you don't make noise on your way out, you should be good." "Okay, hang tight. We'll be back," Bentley assured her. Natalie couldn't help but let out a bit of sass. "You better. There's no food in here, and I've had my limit of being chased today." Bentley couldn't help but smirk as he opened the door, both soldiers gripping their handguns tightly as they slipped out into the dimly lit hallway. Once they cleared the door, they switched to their assault rifles, moving swiftly down the corridor toward the loading docks. As they approached, they noticed that the large rolling door had been pulled down. In the distance, the booming sound of a .50-caliber rifle echoed through the building. "Let's be out of their way before they get here," Bentley suggested, his voice hushed. The two of them spotted the office door near the docks. They rushed up to it, and Bentley retrieved the access code from his pocket, quickly entering it into the keypad. The door unlocked and they slipped inside the darkened office, slamming the door shut behind them. They stood there for a moment, fumbling along the wall, searching for the light switch. Nolan found the switch and flicked it on, flooding the room with light. They saw a long stretch of cubicles and heard a clatter as two zombies at the far end of the room were alerted to their presence. Two creatures rushed out from a cubicle, knocking down one of the makeshift walls and sending a computer monitor crashing to the ground. Both soldiers were startled, quickly raising their guns and firing several rounds in their direction. Bullets flew erratically, smacking into the creatures' chests or missing entirely. As the zombies closed in, Nolan steadied himself, taking aim before squeezing the trigger. One after the other, he put a round into each of their heads, dropping them both to the ground. He looked over at Bentley, who wore a somewhat frightened expression. Nolan playfully smacked Corporal on the arm. "Are you good, Bentley?" Bentley nodded, his voice shaky. "Yeah, that was just a lot closer than I would have liked. That's some nice shooting, though." "Not my first time," Nolan replied confidently. "I can see that. Come on, let's clear these things out," Bentley urged. The two of them moved cautiously through the office, checking every cubicle for threats. When they reached the end of the row and examined the one the two creatures had emerged from, they couldn't help but dry heave at the gruesome sight. There was a young worker, no more than 20, whose leg hung on by tendons and half of the flesh on his torso was missing. Despite the horrific injuries, he was still moving. They stared at him for a moment, watching as he snapped his jaw shut, excited to see potential prey. Bentley aimed his rifle and fired a single round into the ghoul's head, ending its suffering. Without saying a word, they shook their heads and continued toward the door that led to the loading dock. The door had a small window covered by a curtain. Bentley pulled it back and looked out towards the trucks. The door was positioned by the exterior wall, so the front of the trucks faced them. "How are we looking?" Nolan asked. "I have three of those things by the closest truck," Bentley replied. "No clue how many are in between the trucks, though." Nolan tapped Bentley, prompting him to move so he could look out the window. After assessing the situation, he nodded and stepped back. "You want me to go up first?" Nolan offered. Bentley hesitated, a hint of embarrassment in his voice. "Do you mind if I get up there first?" Nolan sensed Bentley's lack of confidence in the upcoming confrontation and nodded, patting him on the shoulder. "I got you, Corporal. When this door opens, I'll cover the two on the right. You pop the one on the left and get up that truck. I'll be right behind you." Bentley nodded, and both men gripped their rifles tightly. Nolan grabbed the door handle and pushed it open, allowing Bentley to step out first. As soon as Bentley cleared the threshold, he aimed and fired, hitting his target in the head and dropping it. Nolan raised his rifle and fired, hitting the first target. However, the second zombie rushed towards him before he could get a solid aim. Fearing a miss, he lowered his shoulder and ran towards the oncoming creature. With a sudden stop, he extended his arm, sending the ghoul tumbling to the ground. Nolan swiftly raised his rifle and fired a couple of rounds at the fallen zombie's head, ensuring it would not rise again. He then turned to see Bentley making his way up the front of the truck, but it was taking him a moment. As he observed, Nolan noticed another zombie emerging from between the trucks, drawn by Bentley's movements. Without hesitation, Nolan raised his gun and fired several times. The bullet struck the front of the truck, startling Bentley, but also finding their mark as the creature collapsed to the ground. Nolan started to run towards the truck, only to spot more creatures coming out from between the trucks. "Damn it," he muttered, opening fire as quickly as he could. Some bullets hit their targets, while others missed. In a matter of seconds, eight zombies were rushing towards him. "Move, Nolan!" Bentley shouted. Private Nolan sprinted towards the truck as Corporal Bentley provided covering fire from above. Bentley's precise shots took down a couple of zombies as Nolan closed the distance. However, as Nolan approached the truck, another creature emerged from the side. Realizing he couldn't make it on top of the truck in time, Nolan mustered all the speed he could and slid underneath the outstretched arms of the approaching zombie. With enough momentum, he carried himself beneath the truck, reaching up to the engine above him and pulling himself further underneath. From above, Bentley shouted, "Nolan!" "I'm good. Just keep shooting," Nolan called back. Nolan readied his rifle, scanning from side to side underneath the truck as Bentley fired rapidly. Private Nolan picked his targets, aiming for the knees of the creatures running alongside the trucks before adjusting his aim and firing at their heads. The noise drew the attention of more zombies, who leaned down to peer underneath the truck. This forced Nolan to fire quickly, going from left to right, shooting at anything that moved, the only source of light coming from the muzzle flashes. As he fired, he felt a cold hand gripping his foot, pulling on his boot. Nolan aimed his rifle at the creature, but got only a click when he pulled the trigger. In a swift move, he released the rifle and drew his handgun, firing rounds that pierced through the creature's wrist, shattering the bone and forcing it to release its grip. Nolan kicked the ghoul away. Nolan continued to fire frantically around him as more creatures closed in, reaching out with blood-soaked hands. Eventually, his handgun clicked empty just as multiple arms seized his arm, pulling hard. He tried to swap out his magazine, but was unable to before the creature's relentless tug made him drop the gun. Several arms reached for him, pulling him closer. Nolan used his free hand to punch at their grips, breaking some of them free, but it only agitated them further as they began crawling underneath the truck. In frustration, Nolan let out a scream as they pulled him closer, thrashing wildly, kicking and smacking at every limb he could see. Miraculously, he managed to break free momentarily, creating some distance by sliding underneath the truck. He grabbed onto the frame above, pulling himself as hard as he could, sliding on the ground to put more space between him and the mob. Stopping a few yards down, he looked back at the zombies now outside the truck, rising to their feet and rushing towards him. Nolan scanned his surroundings for a weapon, realizing that both of his guns were out of reach. He drew his knife, sighing in resignation as he prepared to defend himself. But before the zombies closed in, a torrent of gunfire erupted from outside the truck. Bodies hit the ground on both sides, and as the gunfire ceased, Sergeant Felix called out, "Nolan, are you good?"
"Yeah, I'm good. I'm under the truck," Nolan replied, his voice filled with relief.
"Give us a second to clear the area," Felix instructed.
"Copy that," Nolan acknowledged.
Nolan lay there, still catching his breath, as Felix, Crosby, and Bentley walked beside the truck, ensuring the creatures were truly incapacitated.
"You're good," Felix assured Nolan.
Nolan climbed out from underneath the truck, wearing a wild expression on his face as if he were in shock.
"Are you sure you're okay, Private?" Felix inquired.
"Yeah, just..."
"Not a fan of being in that situation," Nolan admitted. Felix nodded, giving Nolan a reassuring pat on the shoulder before turning his attention to Bentley. "Bentley, go with Crosby and get on cleanup duty. Make sure there isn't a single one of those things still moving."
"On it, Sarge," Bentley responded, and he joined Crosby to carry out the task.
"Nolan, see if there's anything in these trucks we can use to barricade the emergency exits. There's a bunch of them, so if something might work, make a note of it." Nolan nodded, watching as Felix walked back out into the hallway and down to the security room. He knocked gently on the door, and it opened right up.
"I would have thought this would have been locked," Felix remarked.
"Oh, it was, until I saw you sauntering up without a care in the world. Between that and not seeing any threats on camera, I felt like I was good," Natalie explained.
"Hard to argue with that," Felix admitted.
Natalie asked, "So what now, Sergeant?" Felix took a moment to collect himself before responding.
"Well, first off,
I'm going to sit down and collect myself for a moment. After a brief pause, he continued, After that, I'm going to call my captain and let him know that we're secure here. It shouldn't be too long before reinforcements arrive. This is going to be bad, isn't it? Natalie inquired, her concern evident. Felix sighed before answering. I'm afraid it is, Natalie. How bad? I can't tell you. But if it's anything like what we just faced in here, I think we're going to be really thankful, come sunrise, that we're inside this makeshift fortress. Natalie let out a sigh as the two of them sat in silence, contemplating the grim reality of the new world they found themselves in. The end.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.